Welcome to Preach the Word, brought to you by the Yucaipa Church of Christ, located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. The Yucaipa Church of Christ website is yucaipachurchofchrist.com. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes at 9:30 a.m. and worship assembly at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening assembly, 5 p.m. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
Good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you. This is Milton with the Yucaipa Church of Christ, and I look forward to the opportunity to speak with you today. The title of our lesson today is The Light of the World. In John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When in darkness, what does a person require? They require light so they can see. And this was promised by the Apostle Paul when he spoke largely to a Gentile audience in Acts chapter 13, verse 47. And on that occasion, what he shared was absolutely beautiful. He shared, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." I find that fascinating when you consider the fact that he was a Jew and that he had quite a lineage in Judaism. In fact, he was a Pharisee and considered one that had very few peers in his day when he was involved in Judaism. But that would change. After his confrontation with Jesus on the road to Damascus, that would change. And he would not be sent to the Jews specifically, or the apostle to the Jews, as Peter was. No, he'd be sent to the Gentiles, which has always fascinated me. Much is written in Scripture about both darkness and light that would serve us well to know something about. In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist wrote, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And in 2 Peter, having mentioned Peter before, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we are given a brilliant proclamation. "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." Since light cuts the darkness and allows us to see clearly, let's consider this topic and see Jesus as the light of the world. But before we go any farther, I'd like to take some time to discuss the darkness in the world. The prophet Isaiah wrote about how the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And what he was referring to in chapter 9 of Isaiah, he was referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it behooves us to take a look at this passage together. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look at verses 6 and 7 together. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." How beautiful is that promise? In fact, Isaiah is preparing us for Jesus to be the light of the world, and specifying that's certainly going to be one aspect of his ministry. The darkness that is being referred to is the evil deeds that men do not want exposed to the light. And Jesus explained this in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, when he explained that men want the darkness and not the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed by the light. Jesus identified how the hearts of the Jews were far from God, and that the heart is what defiles those who walk in darkness and refuse the light. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus, quoting the Old Testament, said, these people offer God lip service, but their hearts are far away from him. And then in the book of Mark, in chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, Jesus zeroes in on what men were involved in opposition to God's will, and what they were willing to carry on in their opposition, in their stubbornness, in their obstinance to the will of God, and thus to conduct themselves in darkness and away from God. This is in 7, starting with verse 20 of Mark. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. The Apostle Paul asked the question, what fellowship has light with darkness? In 2 Corinthians 6:14. He goes on to write later, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Darkness is also pictured in another way. It's pictured as outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is where the wicked will be thrown at the end of time and at the second coming of Jesus. In fact, in Matthew, you will find this particular wording used at least twice, Matthew 22:13 and Matthew 25, verse 30. But now we want to focus on Jesus as the light of the world. I wanted to share with you something that happened when I was in junior high school. You know, we had heard things about a laser here and there, but we never really gave it a lot of validity because you'd read about that sort of thing in a comic book. Well, on this particular occasion, a gentleman came in and there was an assembly put together. And back in that day, when you had a junior high school, you had grades 7th, 8th, and 9th, not like the middle schools today. So they had this assembly and they had this gentleman in, and he brought a very curious device with him. And what it was a laser. And he was able to demonstrate it to us. And he explained to us that what this was light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. That's what laser stands for. And it's not L-A-Z-E-R, it's L-A-S-E-R. And he said there would never be enough power available to a laser to do any damage. Well, how far have we come since that time? I remember a few years after that I was in the science building at the University of Redlands, and as I was walking into the hall, I saw this orange light piercing, just coming through the atmosphere. And as I walked through the hallways, I could see it was being directed by a multiple set of mirrors. And then, of course, I got to where the actual laser was. And the students were involved in that. It was very interesting to me to see it. Thank the Lord it wasn't aimed in my direction. But all these years later now, people are concerned about laser pins because there's such an intense focus of light. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't come anywhere close to Jesus Christ our Lord. He is truly the light. And the light we need to focus on with him is the light that will expose the evil of men, but also at exactly the same time show us who we need to be in following God and serving him. In fact, the light which our Lord Jesus is must be reflected in our lives. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus explains, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead on a lampstand so it gives light to all those in the house. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How beautiful is that? We're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're reflecting it in the lives that we lead. And the lives that we lead, we want people to see. We want them to understand. No, we're not seeking applause. We're not seeking fame. But what we want to do is we want to show everyone in the world the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. And I will tell the congregation on a number of occasions, any good thing you ever see in me, anything, please understand that has come from God through Jesus and his effect on my life. The light of Jesus, understand please, is the exact opposite of the darkness which occupies the hearts of men that are wicked and hide themselves from the light. And I'm so happy to be able to share with you what the Apostle John had to say along these lines. This is in the book of 1 John. It's in chapter 1. And I'd like to share with you, please, verses 5 through 7. Again, 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. He wrote, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. For we say that we have, or if we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin." How magnificent is that statement? What joy, what courage, what hope it gives every single one of us in following the Lord Jesus Christ. As the light of the world, Jesus exposed the wicked ways of men and gave us the very definition of who a righteous person is. And what I'd like to share with you is what the Apostle Paul said. Now, this is after he had left Judaism, well after being confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus, well after he'd been known as Saul, and now he's known as Paul. And this is recorded for us in Acts chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. So let me share with you in his own words what he had to say. Again, starting with verse 14 from Acts 24. "But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men." And it was the Apostle Paul who in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But in the very next verse, verse 17 of chapter 1 of Romans, he says that in it, referring to the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith, that is a small amount of faith, to faith, that is faith as it grows and it blossoms. And it says, "The righteous man shall live by faith." If we're living by obedient faith, then we're going to do what God wants us to do. And we're going to avoid anything that would be classified as evil or wicked or darkness. And we're going to live a life that others will be able to see and certainly be extremely proud of. But on the flip side, consider what the Apostle Paul wrote to his audience in the church in Ephesus originally. And this is recorded in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3. He wrote, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Folks, we cannot participate in those things any longer. They're completely unprofitable, they're completely unfruitful, and they won't do anything but damage and harm us. No, we need to turn like the Apostle Paul did, Remember, he turned 180 degrees from what he was when he persecuted the church of our Lord. And even on that occasion when he was confronted by Jesus, he was on his way to Damascus to search out Christians, those of the way, and drag them back before the Sanhedrin for them to pass a sentence upon them. And quite often that was a sentence of death. No. From what he was then to what he became is amazing. Absolutely amazing. But it shows you, it demonstrates for you, the light. The light that shines into the lives of men. The light that exposes the evil, but also, of course, exposes the good. As the light of the world, Jesus exposed the false teaching of men and showed God's righteous fulfillment of his word. Think about that. He could show what was evil, and he could show what was good and right and righteous. Let's consider together the teaching of Mark chapter 7. We were here before, but let's go back again. It is so powerful. It sets such a good illustration of what we're talking about. And it shows you how far away from God the Jews of his day actually were. And when you focus on this, that's in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, you'll see what I'm saying. He was also saying to them, "You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban,' that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his mother or for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." Yes, these are the ones that Jesus on this occasion speaks right out to, and he doesn't back away from what he has to say, and he's strong with every word, because this is what it had come to for them. This is what they had done. They had flagrantly passed by the magnificent truth of God in favor of traditions that they themselves kept going generation after generation. And it shows you how far they were away from the word of God in what they were teaching, the false teaching that they had. But now I want to again turn things around. And I'd like to take you to the book of Luke. Now there are magnificent and wonderful things in all the books of the Bible. But in Luke chapter 2, there is some magnificent proclamation. In fact, it tells us of the circumstances that led up to the fact that Joseph and Mary had gone down to Bethlehem, there, of course, to answer to the tax rolls. And when they were there, of course, that's where Jesus was going to be born. So at long last, that would occur. And here in the second chapter of Luke, we even read about the magnificent proclamation made by the angels to the shepherds in the fields, and how they came and they saw Jesus lying in a manger. But there's something else we don't often hear reported on that I want to share with you. And to me, it's absolutely beautiful. It's about a man named Simeon. And the story of Simeon that I'm going to share with you is in chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." You see how beautiful this is? This man is near the end of his life, and the Lord had promised him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, when this man recognized on that day exactly who he held in his arms. What a beautiful set of emotions must have come over this man. How overcome he must have been. And I get that, and I hope you get that when you read this wonderful story, again contained in this story chapter, chapter 2 of Luke. Oh, it's beautiful. The Word of God is absolutely beautiful. It is clear, it is accurate, it doesn't mince words, and it doesn't try to substitute something softer. It stands for what it stands. It stands to expose sin as what it is, sin. And it's of course, stands to show us what is righteous in the eyes of God, what constitutes righteousness, what we consider to be acting the right way, because that's a quick definition of the word righteousness. Now, I want you to consider, day in, day out, through any dark patch that you may face or any dark set of circumstances that you may come up against, or even if you look back over your life and you say, you know, I haven't been the person I need to be, and I really need to take stock and I need to get things right. And I hope that's a realization, if you need to make it, that you'll certainly make, and that you won't shy away from that. Remember, this is the point. The Word of God exposes the things that are wicked, but also, of course, it sheds light on the things that are right and the things that we should be associated with and a part of. And I want to encourage you in that. You know, too many people, well, they walk around very much like they're hopeless, like there's no chance and God won't hear them and God won't respond to them because they've done so many wrong things, so many evil things in their lives. And they just put themselves past being saved by God. Folks, that's not the case. God will take us, all of us, and bring us forward in His glory. And, of course, give us what we need so that we can be faithfully obedient to Him and be saved. Think about that. Just as Simeon pronounced the beautiful, beautiful experience that he was given by God, as God promised, when he was holding the child, when he was holding Jesus prior to his own death, God will certainly give us our magnificent Lord, who is indeed the light of the world, so that we can see and we can fellowship with Him day in and day out. He doesn't refuse anybody from that. That is open, and that's an open invitation to all people. So please remember that. Please remember that. We want to encourage you to come and see us at the congregation up on the boulevard, as it's commonly referred to, the Ukiper Church of Christ, and we'd love to have a chance to meet you and get a chance to talk to you about these things even in more detail, because God has blessed us tremendously, and we just want to share that with everyone. It's a beautiful thing to have fellowship with one another in Christ. And as we read before in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from all sin. Please let that soak into good and honest hearts listening to this particular episode of this particular program. We're here to preach the Word. We want to do everything we can to encourage not only the citizens of Ukiper, but other places as well, to hear the Word and to follow the Word all the days of their lives. There is one thing I want to share with you before we close. It's a passage I didn't read in John chapter 3. So very quickly, let's find it. John chapter 3, and the verse is verse 20. Let's look at it together. Make that 21. "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." It is God working in us. God wants to give you that opportunity for Him to work through your life and to accomplish so much good. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your time.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, brought to you by the Ukiper Church of Christ, located at 33981 Ukiper Boulevard in Ukiper. The Ukiper Church website address is ukiperchurchofchrist.com, and assembly times are Sunday morning classes at 9:30 a.m. and worship assembly at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening assembly, 5 p.m. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.